Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text for today is the gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 11, which, as you heard, doesn't actually contain a whole lot of gospel now, does it? But here we go. So how are you doing at getting ready for Christmas, for the coming of Jesus? I'd imagine you're probably doing pretty well. After all, here you are in chapel during Advent. You probably went or will go to a Wednesday night Advent service, which probably 0.1% of the population of the United States even knows what that is. You might have an Advent wreath on your table, or at least an Advent calendar that you poke open each day and see the little picture behind, or if you're really lucky, get the little piece of chocolate behind the window. Maybe you have a stable from your nativity set underneath your tree, and every evening during devotions, you add another sheep to the scene. Eventually, the shepherds gather in, and you have the whole troop until finally on Christmas morning, there's Jesus. Well, at least that's what our family does to get ready for Christmas. Although this year, we don't have a tree yet, and somehow the magic chocolate Advent calendars didn't show up, disappointingly. But compared to most people, you are probably ready for Jesus. Or are you? In our text for today, we meet a whole lot of people who thought that they were ready for Jesus, for a Messiah, for a Savior. But it turns out that they weren't. And in fact, quite disturbingly, the guy who was supposed to be getting everybody else ready turns out not to be so ready after all. John the Baptist, the forerunner, the one who was to prepare the way, Elijah himself, now has doubts. 11 chapters into Matthew. Are you the one, or should we expect another? Even John isn't so sure. I suppose it's fairly understandable. After John at this point is in prison, he's just doing his job, he's speaking to Herod the truth about his marriage and God's law, but now there's doubt. Is Jesus the one? But Jesus doesn't do what we might consider the pastoral thing to do at this point, does he? He doesn't speak words of comfort to this struggling prophet. Rather, it's kind of harsh. You want proof? Well, look around. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. It's right there in Isaiah 35, don't you remember? I know Simeon read it in his nice, pleasant seminarian voice, but I don't think Jesus was too pleased. And in fact, at the end, he says, "Blessed is the one who is not falling away, scandalized because of me." Apparently, John the Baptist is not among the ones who are blessed because he's wavering and he's doubting. Get with the program, John. So I'll ask you again, how are you doing at getting ready for that Jesus? Well, then he turns on the crowds. What did you go out to the wilderness to see when you went to see this John the Baptist? A celebrity, a fad, the latest and greatest, but where are you now? Has anything John said made any difference? You went out there to be baptized in this baptism of repentance, yet nothing has changed. And now here am I, the one that John said would come, and you're rejecting me too. The crowds were not responding to Jesus any better than they did to John. And so Jesus says, the winnowing fork is in my hand, but that winnowing fork is not turned at the people you want it to be, it's turned at you. You are the ones who are coming under condemnation because you have refused to listen to Jesus. So I'll ask you again, how are you getting ready for that Jesus to come? And then a little bit of a, backhanded compliment to John, you might say. Yes, John was the prophet But then he takes it right back again. The least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. Now, just a little footnote here, if I can do this in a sermon. We're here honoring our ordination anniversaries and service anniversaries today. And I tried really hard to figure out a way from this text to say something positive about you guys. But if Jesus knocks John the Baptist down, sorry, I can't do anything for you. So we'll have to say nice things later on after the sermon. But it's all a little bit disturbing, isn't it? Nobody is getting the comfort and support that we might expect from Jesus. In fact, mercifully, the people who put the lectionary together stopped the reading at verse 15 because it just gets worse after this. He complains about this generation as being a bunch of little kids who play around and don't listen at all. He complains about those who mock Jesus for being a drunkard and a glutton when he's hanging around with tax collectors and sinners. And these very cities that he's preaching in, Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum, he tells them that it will be better for Sodom than for you on the day of judgment. He has nothing happy to say for about 30 verses of chapter 11. So I'll ask you again, how are you doing at getting ready for this Jesus to come? We have a tendency, as we all know, to sort of domesticate Jesus and fit him into nice little boxes. At any number of Sunday school programs over the next couple of weeks, we'll sing that nice little song, Away in a Manger, right? We all know it. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask you to stay close by me forever. But do you really want this Jesus close by you forever? You see, Jesus is a destabilizer. He comes into a world that is complacent and shakes it up. He comes into a world that wants a Savior, but then tries to tell that Savior what he really should be doing. We know what we want saving from, and it's not what you're selling, Jesus. He comes to a people content with who they are and shakes them out of their place of comfort. You know as well as I that we could all use some comfort these days. We like our comfortable places. We like our routines. We like those safe spots. We like our Christmas traditions. We peer out into the dark world out there and we see uncertainty. And we see darkness. We hear about elections and tweets that make us wonder what will happen next in our world. We have uncertainty about the health of our family members, our parents, our kids, our friends, maybe even ourselves. You fourth-year guys are just now dipping into the uncertainty of what the heck is going to be happening 6 months from now. There's uncertainty about our church, and will we continue to hold that light out in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation that is trying to snuff it out? We need comfort. And yet here into our nice, comfortable chapel with Christmas trees and beautiful nativity figures comes the Jesus yelling and screaming and condemning and not speaking a single word of comfort, all to make us even more uncomfortable, even here, to remind us that the way things are, and indeed the way that we are, will change. You see, Jesus destabilizes things in a way that no one else can. He came into a world where there is blindness, and he took it away. Nobody else could do that. He came into a world where there was leprosy and lameness, and he took it away. Nobody else could do that. He came into a world where the poor are pushed aside and ignored, and he preached good news to them while he tore down rulers from their thrones. He came into a world where death is feared but inevitable, and he even made death itself go away. You see, God has come into the world in this man, Jesus, the God who has all power over his creation, who fearlessly and recklessly goes on a mission to make all things new, all people new. This Jesus is not to be taken lightly. He is not to be doubted. He is not to be ignored, because this Jesus is the one. He is the one who has ultimate power over all things, and yet he made himself one who is able to be ignored. He is one who has ultimate authority, and yet he made himself one who could be misunderstood and passed off. This God became flesh, a man. He put on skin and bones. He grew tired. He grew impatient. He was even at times, it seems, a little bit sarcastic. He took on all the weakness of our flesh so that he could take everything, all the darkness, all the sin, into his body and put it to death on the cross and rise again in the ultimate act of destabilization to create new life where it did not exist before. He died the death that he did not deserve, but he rose again to give us the life that we do not deserve. And he has now become our comfort. Not in our government, not in the seminary placement director, not in the doctors or the insurance companies, not in any human leader. It is in Christ only. Everything else is stripped away except for him. This is the Jesus that you are getting ready for. He is coming, and you will be different. Praise be to God. Amen.